Welcome to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. I'm Lance Carter. One of our wonderful writers, Kristen Burt, talked with Tom Felton recently. He's got a new series on DirecTV that sounds very cool. For more of that and Tom, here's Kristen.
Hi, I'm Kristen Burt for Daily Actor. Recently, I had the opportunity to interview Tom Felton for the new DirecTV series Full Circle. You know Tom very well from the Harry Potter franchise as Draco Malfoy, the villainous wizard. Now, of course, he grew up before our very eyes, and now at 26 years of age, he's ready to face new challenges as an adult actor. So in the new 10-episode series written by Neil LaBute, Tom shared with me the challenges of acting with such heavy dialogue. So instead of a green screen and 4 pages in a day like he's used to, the actor had to do 25 pages in a day, sitting at a table in the Ellipsis restaurant where the entire series takes place. It was an acting school lesson he will never forget. Every movement, every look had a purpose. Now, this probably won't be the last time we see Tom in U.S. television. He talked about the golden age of TV that's happening right now. So while he's only in 2 episodes of the DirecTV show, I don't think this is the last series he'll do. Before we go to my interview with Tom, I'm going to hand it back to Lance to wrap it up.
Thanks, Kristen. Real quick, I just wanted to say that I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers. Without them, this site would not exist. Also, do you guys need a website? Every actor needs one, and Daily Actor is here to help. We do custom websites that are affordable, and it's not going to kill your bank account. We also sell casting director mailing labels and have a great actors resource page. Check that out, and also be sure to take a look at our other interviews on dailyactor.com. And now, here's Tom.
So how much were you hoping with this project and playing Tim that somebody would bring a magic wand and wave it with this intense dialogue?
Yeah.
Of the Ellipsis.
Yeah.
This is so far removed from a Rowling adaptation.
Yeah, completely.
And even some of the stuff you've done in between.
Yeah, and I think that was the exciting part. I think now I've got to a point where if I read a script and I'm terrified by it, then I should probably try and do it. And that was the same for this. I said to my agent that I'd love to do some good quality TV. You know, the quality of American television right now is insane, I think. So I was very keen to jump on the bandwagon, and they said this is the only thing you need to be looking at right now is this Full Circle. Neil's writing obviously is incredibly unique. We've read lots and lots of things over the last year, but you could almost tell it was Neil just on the first 3 pages. And I think for any actor to have that sort of situation where it's just literally this for 25 minutes, that was the terrifying aspect, but also the one that ultimately was hugely rewarding when we filmed it.
Now, how much do they give you of the script? Because you're in episode one. You kick this whole...
Sure. You start the ball...
This whole wand off.
Yeah.
It's in your hands. So do they give you all 10 episodes to see, or just your particular... Or do they let you know how this is going to play out?
It was a mixture of both. At first, I was just given the first episode. And obviously, from there, I was very keen. And they said... They didn't even explain the format about... 10 characters, A meets B, B meets C, and it was only when I went to Nick's house on one of the early weekends back from shooting something in Mexico that he explained, gave me all the scripts and told me exactly, but loosely threaded it for me to explain, because I was quite keen not to know every in and out, because Tim obviously doesn't know how he influences someone else, and so I'm always quite keen not to be too knowledgeable, really, of what's going to happen.
It would influence your character, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And even, I hate to go back to Potter, but even then I was keen not to know what happened 2 years ahead of the character, because I feel like that has to influence the way you play it. So it was nice to know what happens in the beginning and the end, and kind of, although I did obviously read the entire thing, it was nice to be able to piece some of the puzzles, put some of the pieces together to kind of give it your own outlay to see how it ended up. But I never predicted an ending. Be clear with that. Reading halfway through episode 10, I was like, "What is this? Am I reading the right script?"
On Harry Potter, you were very young, and has it been hard to make the transition? Also, it's such a famous film. A lot of actors get typecast. So what has the transition been like to getting adult?
I feel incredibly lucky that it seems to have been pretty seamless. I feel incredibly grateful that, that my character in Harry Potter aesthetically looked quite differently to how I do today. And he was a nasty guy. I was about to say an arsehole, but that's a bit strong. But he was not a nice guy, so most people when they meet me, a director or a casting director, they kind of half expect you to be that guy, I guess. So when I come in and I'm remotely friendly, they're like, oh, okay, so you're not the evil wizard. So I feel like that's oddly helped me in some respects. Yeah, there's a lot of people saying that how are you going to shake, how do you shake off the burden of being in a film like that? And to me, there's no shaking going on. So, there's no burden.
The entire cast has done extremely well.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I think it would have been way harder for Daniel, Rupert and Emma, because they really are like the poster boys. And they look, even Daniel especially, he looks still incredibly Harry Potter-ish. But look at what he's done. I mean, testament to... I mean, they were always great actors, but testament to their choices and what they've done. I saw Daniel 3 weeks ago on West End doing his latest play, and he's phenomenal. There's no doubt in my mind that, especially him, but all three of the actors will be around for a long time to come, and I hope to join that group.
Well, you're changing things up. You're venturing into television. You've done other small films. Even while you were doing Potter, you were changing it up. Do you have a preference at this point? Is there something in particular that you want to, that you gravitate to or see yourself going towards to expand your range as an actor and the public's perception?
Yeah, I guess at one point there was. I think it was... it was even as broad strokes as American TV or American speaking or just something that was different to what I'd done previously. But I think now, in a nutshell, it's what I just said at the beginning, that anything that terrifies me makes me think, I can't do this. And to have someone else go, yeah, you can, give it a go. Ultimately, that's kind of why I'm doing this job, because, you know, if it's too safe, then there's definitely no satisfaction or fun at the end of it, so... Something like this was, there's no mistaking myself, and I'm pretty sure I could speak for Minka. We were pretty nervous on that morning where we knew we had 14 hours to shoot 24 pages, and we'd only had one rehearsal session face-to-face. It was a lot of pressure, but ultimately that's what led to the sense of triumph and the sense of accomplishment when we finished it. And I haven't seen it, but I know that Minka and I went through a whole bunch of emotions that day, so... I'm hoping that really captures it.
It's all there on the screen, and I think your nervousness played in to the characters really well because of the tenuous nature of the situation at that moment. It's, I love you, I want you to come to England. No, you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm glad to hear that, actually, because that's something that Nick was, our director, was very keen not to lose that. The moment we started just reading lines... He would almost just say cut and be like, I can see that you're not looking at each other, you're thinking about what you have to say next. Forget about that, you know, get into... Because for me, I'd learned maybe 5 pages of dialogue in a day, tops. And I was nervous about that. So 24, then any stage direction, you can't hide behind sipping your coffee or getting on a broomstick. None of that. So
no special effects.
No green screen. Yeah, I was waiting for that. So yeah, ultimately I think that's what lended itself to it being a nervous experience, and hopefully, yeah, like, as you said, hopefully that really enhances the production. I actually feel like if we'd had a week to shoot it, it wouldn't have had that same intensity, because we knew we were so limited, and, you know, emotions got pretty high on the day when we weren't supposed to, so I'm hoping that really helped the performance.
How exciting is it as an actor to not be working green screen? That this is just human emotion, this is human nature, human condition.
Yeah, again, I won't lie, tough for me. A lot of people struggle with this idea of, you know, to stand here, look at X, and then look at Y. That one's a dragon, and that one's a firebolt. To me, that's kind of second nature. That's kind of what we're growing up doing. Staring at a girl that you're desperately in love with and trying to convince her to leave her husband is not something that I've ever done. So again, it really presented a challenge. And I think with a mixture of Neil's writing and with working with Minka, she really she couldn't have been more helpful and more accommodating of not only my nerves but my anxiousness to get it right. I think hopefully we help each other a lot through it.
jumping into this, have you ever done improv? Because I would think that improv would help you with this.
No, not really. And this is a weird one where it's improvised, but it's not, because the words are written so well and so good that you don't need to change anything. But this idea of jumbling up the pages and jumbling up the words and saying the line that should have been there, and doing whatever, that was welcomed, I think, because they wanted to make it feel as if it was conversational. You know, it doesn't always happen in a regimented fashion when you're just talking off the cuff. So it took me a while to get used to that as well, especially as a Brit. You know, Nick was quite keen to say, if there's anything there that doesn't feel British or doesn't feel like you would say it, then switch it up. But obviously, yeah, Neil's a pretty talented writer, so there wasn't much rewrites needed to be done on my part. Thankfully.
You talked about what was happening in American television. I mean, it really kind of is a second golden age for
us here.
It's crazy,
right?
It's amazing.
The last few years.
I know. It's between cable and Netflix and what DirecTV is doing. Are you looking for more projects like that?
Oh, 100%. I mean, there's no hesitation in saying the quality of the television is as good, if not better, than a lot of film work out there. And yeah. I think that was drastically the other way for many years. Film always had a kind of prestige, I feel, because they felt like it was better quality than on the TV. But the variety of good television now is insane, from you know, Sopranos, Entourage, Breaking Bad, all these shows that you only need to watch two episodes and that's it. You've got 45 hours of your life gone. You're going to sit there.
That binge viewing.
Yeah. And it's gripping. And in a weird way, because it's 45 hours long, it's way more intense than a film, because films only last 2.5 hours. So something like this, I feel, is 4.5 or 5 films rolled into one intense package. And I think it's great that DirecTV are doing that thing where you can see all them all at once if you have if you're a subscriber to it. Because to me, I don't know about you, but I'm not someone who can watch an episode and then wait 4 days for the next one. I want to wait till the whole box set's ready so I can just plow through the whole thing. So,
you know, the other thing that goes hand in hand with this that may be very different for you as an actor is the production level of production design on this, because it's not relying on green screen. There is no detail left undone.
Yeah, I mean, even I'm used to, you know, generally when you read a 25-page script, it's usually a page or two of stage directions. X and Y happens, or someone stands up, someone throws something, whatever. Nothing happens. I mean, the waiter comes over a couple of times, and they go for the burger or the chip. And that was it. So it was really left itself to a lot of natural, what do you do at a dinner table? You know, you're packing your hand, you go for the salt shaker or whatever. So that was kind of the unique, going back to the improv part of it. Like, although the dialogue was, it was odd for me just to sit there and not do something. I was like, there must be some sort of statement. Should I get my phone out? And Nick was like, no, you're good. Just be someone out of, you always feel like you have to do something to make it feel real. But oddly, part of this, I guess, getting the opportunity to play some radically different characters to myself, like Draco or the Dodge from Planet of the Apes, it's a lot easier to play someone who's radically different, because it's like, no, this is how he is, it's black and white, I know how to play him. But Tim is not too dissimilar from myself in some respects, so you're always kind of second guessing, well, would he do that, or would he do this, would his hair go this way or that way, I don't know.
So what's next for you?
Well, obviously, we're getting excited to see this come out, and there's a TNT pilot that we're waiting to hear if it's going to go the season or not.
Which one?
It's called Murder in the First. It's a Stephen Bochco, Tommy Schlamme project. Oh, wow. I saw it.
Good pedigree.
Yeah, again, my agents didn't give me much of a choice. They were like, trust me, as far as TV goes, these guys are they know what they're doing. So, yeah, I saw that the other day. It's incredibly good. I'm very excited about that, and hopefully that would mean 3 or 4 months working over here. And there's a few indies in the midst, and we're off to Toronto next week to see a couple of films that we did last year as well. So yeah, it's an exciting time.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you, Kristen. And thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV and theater, and so much more. Follow me on Twitter at Daily Actor, and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Actor. Follow Kristen as well, twitter.com/KristenBurt, KristinBurt. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.